This morning, and today is the day that the Lord has made, and it's an exciting day today. We've had a lot going on at church this week. We had just had VBS this week, and in just a minute we're going to have a presentation about VBS and what a great week that was. And that was followed up by the teens had an activity on Friday night, and they went to Destination Unknown, which was Ralph and Susie Valkoma's house, and they had a great time there. I am so thankful for our youth leaders, who Nate and Kyla and Ray took them to the Destination Unknown. They had a great time, and then Saturday morning, we had a group of people from our church that went and made breakfast at the Rickman House and fed the residents there at the Rickman House, and what a great service project that was. And then this morning, at about 10 o'clock, our teens headed out to Detroit for Life Changers. And they will be doing some physical labor there, doing some hard work in the mornings. And then in the afternoons, they're doing a vacation Bible school. And then in the evenings, they get preached to. And they have a time of worship, and then they get preached to. And our teens are in store for a great week. And so a lot of great things happening. And the only reason all these great things are happening is because we serve such a great God. And we thank him for what he's done. And I can say this, I guess this is in a good way. I am proud to be part of this church where we have so many great things going on. Well, we have some things coming up here. Choir, your practice, for those here and those out there that are in the choir, your practice has changed this week. No practice on Wednesday. Practice will be on Thursday at my house with the grill going, and hopefully I have the pool still clean and good to go, and we're just going to have a time of just relaxing, but also practice will be on Thursday, and the practice will be at probably about 6:30 or 7. But 6 o'clock, you're welcome to be at our house. Softball intramural. If you would like to come out and play on Monday night at 6:30, is when the first game start, and then at 7:45, and you say, well, I'm not on a team. That's okay. Just show up at 6:30, and you'll be put out there to play. You'll have a great time. I really enjoy playing. We have a lot of fun. It's good to get to know people that way. So that starts at 6:30, and if you say, well, I don't have time to go grab something to eat, that's okay, because Cheryl runs the concession stand, and so you can get something to eat there, and we just have a great time of fellowship. Small groups will be starting up again on September 18th, and they'll run until October 23rd. I am looking for hosts and for leaders for those groups, and the topic of this study is prayer. We're going to learn how to pray, what prayer is all about. And instead of just talking about it, we're going to spend time just praying. And I believe that God is really going to honor that study, and so I'm looking forward to it. Today we have our committee meetings, so make sure that committee members, they don't need to be real long meetings today, but there are some items that need to be discussed, so committee meetings, please remember right after the service. The next deacon meeting is this Wednesday also for our deacons. There will be an Awana meeting, the date is supposed to be the 31st. For those interested in volunteering for Awana, the meeting will be next Sunday morning after the morning service. And so all those interested in working in Awana, be aware of that. The church camping trip is coming up soon, and we have a special treat on September 11th. The Allen family will be here. They're going to be here for the morning and evening services. And they are celebrating their 20th year out on the road as a gospel singing group. And they used to be right here as members at 12th Street. And so it's really exciting to see what they're doing. And so we're excited to be able to host them. So mark that on your calendar to be free. Their concert will be at 6 p.m. on September 11th. All right. For the rest of the announcements, read your bulletins. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to celebrate you and what you do. And as we talk about Vacation Bible School and are able to look at what you did during this past week, Lord, it's awesome to have the great volunteers that we have. But Lord, really, you make it all work. And it's all because of you. I know that every hour that was volunteered, every person who put their time and energy and effort into such a great week, Lord, it was all for your service. And so we do thank you for allowing us to be part of that service. And Lord, we do pray for our teens as they're in the bus right now and they're driving. We just ask that you give them safety, that you would really use them in great ways this week, that lives will be changed within our group. And also, Lord, that as they share Jesus Christ, that lives outside of their group will be changed as well. And so, Lord, we just are so excited about what you're doing. And I know that this morning, during this time that we spend together, as we sing, as we look at your word, that you have so much that you want to tell us, so much that you want to challenge us with. And so, Lord, this morning, we say truly with all of our hearts, to you be all the praise and glory. You are the great God, the creator of all, the doer of all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. And so, Lord, this morning, let those gifts fall upon us freely, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. All right, if we could have all of our Vacation Bible School children come on up here to the front. All of our children come on up here. And if everybody else could find their seats. In just a moment, our children will be singing. Before they do, if we could all find our seats, please. All right. Before the children sing, I would like to say thank you to Michelle Roberts for all the cooking she did last week, for all the meals. And then I need to say a special thank you to Brooke Camp. She said it this way, the cruise ship director this last week. And if everybody that worked VBS, they're wearing gray shirts, most of them. If all of those who worked VBS could just stand up for a second, thank you so much for serving this week. All right, we're going to turn it over to the kids to tell us about VBS here.
Everybody say hey. Okay. Now, was that your guys' most energy? Oh, come on. It's because it's early in the morning. See, usually we're partying at like, you know, 6 to 8 o'clock at night all week. So, you know, they must be sleeping still because we had way more energy during that, during VBS. But just real quick, I mean, I don't really think that thank you, I don't think that those two words can really ever express the gratitude in my heart during this week. You know, I think everybody has their talents, and everybody kind of can get plugged in a ministry, and you don't have to do everything. You don't have to be a part of every ministry at church, but God tugged at my heart a few years ago, and somehow I became the cruise ship director of VBS, and I guess this is my ministry, and it's just... It's long, and it's tedious, and it's a lot, but it's just so rewarding. So I just want to share a couple things with you this morning. It was an amazing, exhausting, busy, blessed, fun fellowship week, and I hope that everybody who volunteered feels the same way. The children, we splunked, we explored, we played, sang, danced, crafted, ate, imagined, and most importantly, we learned about Jesus, and I'm hoping the kids can help me out with a little bit more enthusiasm. This week we learned that Jesus gives us hope. We can do better than that. Jesus gives us courage. Jesus gives us direction. And Jesus gives us love. Thank you. All right. And if you get a chance, I know Miss Judy printed up a whole bunch of pictures at the Welcome Center out there, and there's one in the hallway, but I'm horrible at math, that's why I'm not a mathematician, but this, I mean, I don't even know, this is maybe like 10% of the amount of kids that we had here this week. So check out that picture, because it shows the volume of our church family that were involved, and it shows how many kids we had here, and it was just an amazing week. I almost, you know, had a midlife crisis when the rain came in two nights in a row, but the Holy Spirit worked, and we had fun, so... Let me just give you a couple statistics, and then I'll get off this stage. The cost. A budget for Vacation Bible School was about $1,700. The total number of different children that we had enrolled throughout the week was 132. We had over 65 volunteers from our church. We had 16 sweet, precious souls saved. But hearing these kids come in and hearing parents tell me that their kids woke up asking how much longer until VBS, and having my three kiddos in the back seat on Thursday night say, "Mom, that was the best VBS ever," was priceless. Like, that right there was so awesome. So our goal this week was to have 120 kids at one there on one night, and on Tuesday night we had 116. And we had four in the nursery, so graciously Pastor and Mr. Greg allowed us, and Audrey allowed us to slime them, because technically we met our goal of 120. But you guys, that's the biggest number in my years of doing VBS that we've ever had. So that was awesome. And then the last thing before I get off the stage is these kids... They dug, they begged, I don't know, hopefully we kept it honest so we didn't steal any money, but they raised $816 for Bear Lake Bible Camp, and Pastor was there yesterday, so we're going to watch a little clip. You guys get to see Pastor giving the donation to them, and then we're going to do our slideshow. But just real quick before I get off the stage, I just want to especially thank Michelle, because she is really, truly my sidekick. I could not do this without her. She acts like she's really not, like, oh, it's not a big deal. But that's a lot of cooking. So please give her one more round of applause, because I could not do it without her. And I really do love this church. So if you're not plugged in, get plugged in, because we have the best church in Kalamazoo, probably in the whole wide world. So God bless 12th Street.
This is Pastor Thad here with Bob Tissett, the executive director at Bear Lake Bible Camp. And Bob, VBS raised money this week for Bear Lake, and so we want to present you with the check. And just tell you, we love you, and we're praying for the ministry here.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for your generosity and going towards the mini golf course. When it's done, I'm going to send you an invitation to come and play. Okay?
they all make me look bad. They're all sitting up here on the front pew, and I'm in the sound room. Let's stand together as we sing this morning. It is you.
We have come to this place to together we sing.
Heavenly Father, we bow before you today, thanking you for the beautiful day you give to us. Thank you for this service, that we might lift our voices up to you. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, to be with him as he preaches the message, Lord. And I ask you to bless the ones that can give and that cannot give, Lord. We just thank you for this beautiful service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In the hope of Calvary.
to fall fresh once more, to change us and to fill us with a passion for the Lord. In our churches, in our homes, it must be God and God alone who satisfies our longing for peace. He is all we need. The search to find contentment is never satisfied in the things this world offers that will fade away with time. Now more than ever, we must return to our first love and seek first His kingdom with our eyes fixed above. All we need is the power of God to fall once more, to change us and to fill us with a passion for the Lord. In our churches, in our homes, it must be God, God alone, who satisfies our longing for peace. He satisfies.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges 6. One of my daughters this week asked me this riddle. She said, "What is more powerful than God, more evil than Satan? Something the rich do not have, but the poor do. And if you eat it, you will die." Anybody can figure that out?
McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yeah. It may be more evil than the devil, but it's not more powerful than God. Nothing. The answer is nothing. Nothing is more powerful than God. Nothing is more evil than Satan. Nothing. The rich don't have it. The poor do have it. And if you eat nothing, you will die. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. Judges chapter 6. This morning we're going to look at Gideon. And I can't think of a more appropriate judge to look at than Gideon. With the completion of Vacation Bible School and all the effort that went into training young people with the Word of God and teaching them biblical concepts so that they can take it and add it into their life and make it part of who they are. And so we start here with Gideon. Now, we're going through the League of Judges. And with Gideon, he's a little different than the other judges we've seen. The other judges we've seen, like last week, we saw Deborah. She stood up. She took control. She took charge. She was strong. Gideon is the exact opposite of Deborah. And so in Judges chapter 6, in verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And in verse 4, we see that they surround Israel and destroyed everything that grew out of the earth until you come to Gaza. And they left no sustenance for Israel. Neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. Nothing was left. Everything that Israel grew, everything that they used to keep alive, the Midianites came and took it from them. And so in verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. This is just such an awesome picture of God's mercy. Israel does evil, God allows evil to happen. They cry to God, and God sends a deliverer. So you in your life right now, if you are doing evil, expect judgment. And if you're crying out to God, expect a deliverer. Verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So we're introduced to two characters here. The angel came to talk to Gideon. Gideon's father is Joash. Joash is an important player in Israel. Joash owns the local place of worship. Gideon, his son, is hiding while threshing wheat because he didn't want the Midianites to come and steal it from him. And the angel comes to him and says this in verse 12. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The guy's hiding, afraid they're going to steal his food. So Gideon responds, verse 13, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this evil befallen us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. The angel came and said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. And boy, he talks back to God. Has anybody here ever talked back to God? Liars. We talk back to God all the time. And here's the awesome thing about God. God talks back too. Look at verse 14. The Lord looked at him and said, go in this your might, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? Now, God isn't speaking to the entire nation of Israel here. Actually, in the King James, it says thee, thou, and thee. Why? Because he's speaking specifically to Gideon. Gideon, I'm going to use you, the man who just accused me of being absent, the guy who's hiding. You are a mighty man of valor because God says, I will make you that man. Verse 15, Gideon said, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Manasseh was the smallest of all the 12 tribes. And I am the least in my father's house. So here's what he says. I'm from the smallest state in Israel, in the smallest tribe, in the smallest family, and I'm the smallest. So he says, God, you said I'm going to do this. I can't. Verse 16, the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God says, don't tell me where you come from. Don't give me the excuse of your family line. I am with you. You will do this. And when people look at it, it's going to be as if you did it all by yourself. Because I am with you. Verse 17. Gideon said, if now I have found grace in your sight, show me a sign that you're really talking to me. I don't know. I mean, an angel appears, looks like a man, but God's voice is speaking through the angel. And it's very clear that God is speaking with them. God, just show me a sign. So he runs in, he makes some food. He brings the food out. Look at verse 20. The angel of God said to him, take the flesh of the unleavened cakes, lay them on the rock, pour out the broth, and Gideon did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. There rose up fire out of the rocks, consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Whew, gone. Gideon wanted a sign. God gave him a sign. I wish today we could just have that, right? God, if you're really talking to me, give me a sign. God's not into the sign business, okay? He's not. But if you hear his voice, you have your sign. If you hear a message in your mind that is consistent with God's word, that is truthful and right, instead of questioning it, surrender to it. The first thing we see from Gideon is we need to have faith. We all need to have faith. Gideon, as he is becoming a mighty man of valor, he needed to have faith. And he keeps saying, God, give me a sign, give me a sign. We're going to see in just a few minutes, he's going to ask for more signs. You and I aren't going to get the benefits that Gideon got here. God's going to say, you have my word, I've given you your sign. I've given you my Holy Spirit inside of you. You have your sign. And even though the angel is speaking to Gideon, he still says, I need a sign. And you know what? A lot of us are the same way. We know exactly what God is saying. God is saying, I want you to get involved with something. I want you to help someone. I want you to wrap your arms around somebody and comfort them. I want you to stand along somebody as they go through their hardship. And we know what we're supposed to do, but we say, well, God, if it's really you, then you got to tell me a little more clearly. No, have faith. Step up and say, all right, I hear you, I will do it. Look at verse 25. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said to Gideon, take your father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar to the Lord your God upon the top of this rock. In the ordered place, take the second bullock, offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which you shall cut down. So here's what God says. All right, Gideon, I showed you that I'm with you. Now, before you go lead my army, before you deliver my people from the hand of the Midianites, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go tear down your dad's altar. Tear down your dad's idol. That's scary. His dad owned the religious place of worship. It was a grove of trees. And in the middle of the grove of trees was an altar, a stone idol made to Baal. And God says, go tear it down. You know what Gideon does? He takes 10 of his finest servants. He didn't go by himself, but he went. And in the dark of night, under the cover of darkness, he tears down his dad's idols. And he builds up an altar to the Lord God of Israel in its place. The people of the city, they say, well, who did this? Joash, Gideon's father, says, who's did this? And they say, Gideon did, your son. And they say, let's put Gideon to death. And Joash thinks about it. Look at verse 32. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he has thrown down his altar. That day, Gideon's dad changed Gideon's name to Jerubbaal, which means let Baal plead against him. Now, he has two names, a name of honor and of worth, Gideon, one that God wants to call him, the name by which he was called to lead his people. He's got another name, Jerubbaal. And Jerubbaal is a name that says, let Baal plead against him. The only way Baal could ever get the best of Gideon is if Gideon surrenders himself to the false idol. Keep that tucked away in the back of your mind. The second thing that we see in this passage that we need to learn is that, and this is in your bulletin, God wants us to act out your faith. Act out your faith. That's what Gideon had to do. He had to act his faith out. He couldn't just have faith on the interior and say, I've got faith. Right? That's what we do so many times. I have faith in God. Okay, but what does your faith do? In the book of James, faith without works is dead, being alone. You've got to act that faith out. And that's what Gideon had to do, and that's what we need to do. Look at verse 34 in chapter 6. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered with him. We saw this with Ehud. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Ehud. Now listen, I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I will never have any more of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I've got him in me. But there are times when he anoints us, comes upon us, helps us in a special way. And that's what he does here for Gideon. And Gideon has the courage to blow his trumpet, to sound a call, to say, gather with me, join with me. Look at verse 36. And Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, I'm going to put a fleece out. If there's dew on the fleece only and not any dew on the ground, then I'll know that you're serious. So that night, God puts dew on the fleece only and no dew on the ground. The next night, or Gideon, he wakes up in the morning, he sees it, he wrings out the wool. He's like, wow, God did this. Well, God, that was awesome. I'm glad you showed me that. Now, let's make it really sure. Tomorrow, let the ground be wet and the fleece dry. And it happened that way. Why would he do that to God? And why would God answer? Because when God wants us to have faith, he wants to build our faith and encourage it. So maybe you're in the doubting phase right now, and Gideon already blew the trumpet. An army's gathering with them. He's either going to die into victory, or he's going to go into victory, or he's going to go die. Okay, one or the other. There's only two options he has here. He's already called for an army to join with him, but now he's saying, God, just make this sure. Isn't God patient? I'm serious. If I'm God at this point, I'm probably just, you know, I'm slapping upside the head with something. Maybe I'm lightning bolting all around him to say, come on, man, wake up. But God does what Gideon asks. So then in chapter 7, 32,000 men meet with Gideon, answer the call to go to fight. And in verse 2, the Lord says to Gideon, the people that are with you are too many for me to give to the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So God says, go tell everybody who's afraid to go home. So Gideon stands up and says, all right, hey, thank you everybody for meeting with me today. Before we get ready for battle, everybody who's afraid, go home. 22,000 pack up their things and go home. Now, if you're Gideon, you're sitting here and you're going, God, your game plan, it's all wrong. I mean, 32,000, because they're going to have to go fight against over 130,000. 32,000 is not a lot of people to go fight. And you're saying it's too many. And then you tell me to tell if they're afraid, go home. And I've lost 2/3 of my army. And God says, yeah, you have too many still. Take them down to the brook of water. Tell them to get a drink. Some of them got down. They got on their hands and knees. were slurping it right out of the water. Disgusting. Some of them were kneeled down and brought it up and drank it here. God said the ones that kneeled down and brought the water up to their mouth, set aside from the ones who stuck their face down in the water, 300 brought the water up. And God says, 300, that's who I'm going to use. That's your army. And Gideon didn't quit. Gideon stuck with it. Third thing that we need to learn from this, thrive in your faith. God isn't making the tasks easier as it goes. God is making the task harder as he goes. God makes the situation look, feel, and seem, and really is, more difficult each time in the eyes of Gideon. In the eyes of God, it's all okay because God's going to win the battle anyway. And so instead of fighting against what God's going to do, instead of fighting against what God is telling you to do, thrive in it. So in chapter 7 and verse 13, God had told Gideon, go ahead and take your servant with you. Go down into the camp of the Midianites and just listen to what's going on there because I want to give you confidence. Gideon doesn't even have to ask this time. God's just going to give him confidence. So Gideon goes down and he and his servant are walking through the camp of the Midianites. And in verse 13, when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream to his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay long. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand has God delivered Midian and all the host. Just a couple days ago, Gideon was hiding while preparing a meal. He walks into the enemy doesn't even know what he looks like. The enemy has no idea who he is, that he's the smallest of the small of the small. God put it in the enemy's heart that a man named Gideon was going to crush them. So a guy has a dream that a barley roll comes over and smashes the tents. Another guy goes, yeah, that's Gideon. He's gonna wipe us out. Gideon's sitting there going, what? I mean, really? I used to play a lot of football. I've never gotten to go into the opposing locker room to hear what they're saying before a game, okay? But I doubt they're sitting there going, yeah, their quarterback, he's just going to whoop us. That linebacker, we won't get any yards running on them. They're just going to tackle us before we get anywhere. We might as well not even play. I doubt that's what happens, right? And before you go to battle, all the more, because when you go to battle, your life is on the line. But in Midian, they're already defeated because God has put it in their heart that they will lose. And this guy that nobody even knew about that was hiding, named Gideon, is now feared in the heart of his enemy. So he gets back and he's excited and he's telling the men, "Woo, we're going to win this battle." Look at verse 16. He divided the 300 men into three companies and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. So if you're one of the 300, Gideon comes back. He says, man, I just heard that we're going to win the battle. All right, here are your weapons. A trumpet. All right, I don't play well, but I can hit somebody over the head with it. A water pitcher, an empty water pitcher, and a torch, a lamp. Gideon, are you nuts? God, are you crazy? No, God's already won. He wants to make sure he gets the glory for the victory. So Gideon separates the men out. Look at verse 19. They blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Verse 20, the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Verse 22, the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. Verse 24, God sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. The 300 men, all they had to do was stand at the top, and when they got the cue, break the pitcher, hold up the light, blow their trumpet. The sword of the Lord, and then holler, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And the Midianites down in the valley just started killing each other. And then the army gives chase. So you think, God has just given this great victory. It's like everybody's going to get on board. Everybody's going to be excited about this. Everybody's going to be like, wow, look what God's doing. Let's get excited about it. Let's get on board and let's join. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said to Gideon, why have you served us like this? Why didn't you call us when you went to fight the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Verse 3, Gideon gives them a good answer. God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. What was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Wow. Nobody would stand up and fight against them, against Midian. Gideon finally does. Nobody in Ephraim stood up to fight against Midian. They didn't get called to the first trumpet blowing when the army got pared down to 300 men. And they're upset that all they got to do was kill the two princes of Midian. I'm going to tell you something. There will always be people who find a reason to complain. No matter how big the word that God is doing, no matter how wonderful the work that God is doing, and no matter how vast the signs are that God is at work, there will always be people who find a way to complain about it. Don't be that person. And don't let those people get you down. Don't let that griping and complaining get you to go, oh, well, I might as well not even try because nobody likes it when I try. No, you're serving God. Who cares what they say? Now, Gideon was wise. He shared something with them to let them know, hey, you're an important piece of this. So now you think that more people will help Gideon and his men. Verse 5, he said to the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they are faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian. And now the word Succoth in Hebrew, it means help. Literally the name of the town is called Help. Okay? Just like Philadelphia's brotherly love. All right? Don't always find a lot of brotherly love there, but it's the name of the city. Well, here's the name of this city, Succoth. Help. Gideon gets there. He says, hey, we've been chasing these kings. We are hungry. Give us a little bit of bread. Well, you don't have the kings in your hand yet. After you win, then we'll help you. Gideon says, I'm going to be back for you, and I'm going to tear your flesh with thorns. They get to the next city, Penuel. It's got this huge tower. It's a place of refuge. Gideon says, can you guys please just help us out? Give us some bread and some water. And they said, well, you don't have the kings in your hand yet. We're not going to help you. Gideon says, I'm going to come back and tear that tower down. Now remember, he's got 300 men. Both those cities have larger armies than Gideon's. Gideon says, I'll be back. Finally, he chases them down. They kill the two kings. Gideon's on his way back home before the sun comes up. He's not done. They're exhausted. They just chase down the enemy. He stops by Penuel, and he tears down the tower. And then he destroys all the men in the city. He goes to Succoth. He couldn't find any help there. He says to a young boy that was there, tell me, where are the 70 elders of the city? And they tell him, and he goes, gathers them up, wraps them in thorns, and drags them behind the horses. Fourth thing I want you to see in this from Gideon, remain true in your faith. Even when people aren't helping you, even when you feel like you have to go at it alone, remain true in your faith. Gideon seems to be pretty true. But in chapter 8, verse 22, the people of Israel, they come to him and they say, Gideon, rule over us, you and your son's son also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon says to them in verse 23, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. But I'll tell you what, give me all the golden earrings that you found. So they give him 1,700 shekels. A shekel is a half ounce. So 850 ounces of silver they give to him. Gold. It's a lot of gold, right? 850 ounces of gold. He melts it all up, and he makes an idol. Look at verse 27. Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even Ophrah. And all Israel went there, whoring after it, which thing became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. The country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. Wait a minute, I thought his name was Gideon. I thought Gideon, the victor, the mighty man of God. You know when he quit being Gideon and started being Jerubbaal? When he let Baal win. He said all the right things. I'm not going to be your king. My sons aren't going to be your king. My grandsons won't be your king. The Lord is your king. Hey, give me your gold. And then he made an idol. And so, at the end of the account of Gideon, as he goes home, he's not called Gideon. He's called by the name that his father called him when Baal was pleading against him because Baal had him. The fifth thing that we need to understand is that we need to pass our faith on. We need to pass our faith on. Why do we do Vacation Bible School? So we can pass our faith on to the children. Why do we have children's programs? So we can pass our faith onto them. Why do we have a youth group that meets every Sunday night and a youth group that gets together and does activities and then goes on missions trip? Why do we do that? So we can pass our faith on to them. And you know what? We can bring them here all we want to pass the faith on, but if what we do at home is not consistent with what we do here, we're just like Gideon saying, "The Lord will be your king," and then secretly setting up an idol for them to worship. And I wonder how many of our children have idols in their lives. Idols of nicotine, idols of alcohol, idols of drugs, idols of pornography, idols of illicit and filthy language, idols of gossip, idols of covetousness, idols of envy. I wonder how many of us are establishing idols right in front of our children. And we talk the talk, but we're not passing the faith on. 12th Street, the challenge is have faith, but make sure that faith gets passed on to your children. Gideon failed. Sad verse, verse 33. It came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, the children of Israel turned again and went whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. As soon as Gideon died, because the example he set up didn't leave anything for them to hold on to. And so this morning, 12th Street, if we've been setting up idols, for a week, we did everything we could to do and say the right things. But what is going on at home? And if you've got something wrong this morning, come up here and use the front of the church as an altar. Tear down that idol. It wasn't easy for Gideon to go into his dad's place of worship and tear that idol down. And it may be hard for you to get up and get out of your seat and come and kneel down before God and tear down your altar. But I'm telling you what, folks, we've got to do that. I want God to have victory so badly here at 12th Street. I want his spirit to be upon us and to enable us. But we've got to confess. We've got to forsake that sin. And we'll find God's mercy. And the victory of Gideon will pale in comparison to what God will do in Kalamazoo with 12th Street Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And that the God of Gideon is our God. The God who said, "You mighty man of valor," even when Gideon didn't believe it or see it. Lord, you are the God that says to us today, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid, for I am with you wherever you go. I will hold you. Yes, I will sustain you. I will lift you up with my right hand. And so, Lord, I pray that we this morning will be encouraged by your word. And Lord, if there's any idols that we've been building, I pray that we'd tear those down this morning. That we would leave for the next generation a pure and holy example of who our God is. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's no tearing down of idols, there's no following God, there's no doing good until they put their faith and trust in you. And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray this morning they would believe that you died on the cross for their sin, that you were buried, and that you rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And this morning, Lord, they may give their heart and life to you, and you will make them into what you want them to be. So bless this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be at the front of the church. I'd love to introduce you to someone that could show you how to trust Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you just need to come up and kneel and tear down an idol before God, I trust that you will do that. And we will all leave here together ready for victory. Let's stand together as we sing the song, Lord, I Need You. You today. I thank you, Lord, that you want us. You find us as treasured possessions. And so, God, I just pray that as we close out this service, that with hearts that are lifted up towards you, consciences that are clean before you, with a mind that is ready to go out and to serve you. Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful to your commands. We'd be observant of what you want from us. And God, help us to love unconditionally, serve faithfully, that your will be done. So now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, be glory and dominion and power both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.